Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're the Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. It's another Saturday morning and we are here ready to take your calls. The show is ready to go here today, 395-1450. Phone lines are open. Give us a call.
If you can't get through because the lines are so busy or you just don't want to talk to us, send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week, provided it's working. Dave, is it working today?
Yes, it is, Kevin.
All right, sounds good. So we will be checking that. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com.
That's right. Well, Kev, welcome back. We took last week off.
We did. Like, you were up so late, stargazing.
Not stargazing.
But essentially.
Looking for the meteor shower.
Yeah, I know. But you saw a lot of stars, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It was a bright sky.
Stargazing.
The moon was too bright, though.
Was it?
To really see all the meteors.
So, and I guess there weren't as many as people thought.
It was still cool.
Still a cool thing to see.
It's always
meteors
fun.
Or shooting stars, as they like to
free
call.
Free entertainment.
That's right. Free late night entertainment.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're back here. We're live. We're in person. We're waiting for your call. And we have a couple things to talk about news-wise.
That's right, Kev. The first thing to talk about, got a lot of news stories here that interest me. The first thing is a survey that I don't think will surprise either of us or probably won't surprise many of our listeners. It says that Americans are lax about their computer safety.
No.
Most people wouldn't think of leaving their car in a dangerous area without locking their doors and making sure their valuables were out of sight. But a new report indicates many Americans aren't willing to take the same basic precautions when it comes to protecting themselves against dangers from using their computers. A survey by Consumer Reports says even though Americans lost billions of dollars in the past couple of years to things like viruses, spyware, and phishing schemes, relatively few take advantage of the kinds of protection that is available to them. So, you know, as far as all the spyware, adware, a lot of people just say, if it breaks, it breaks. So,
yeah. And, you know, our word to you is it's cheaper and easier to have protection than it is to clean up the mess that's made if you get a virus or spyware.
Right. In the long run, it costs more.
Yep. It's, and like your system, certain systems just don't recover all that well from spyware. It infects all kinds of system files, which essentially they can be sort of cleaned. You know, the spyware and the viruses can be made to not go away, but the system maybe not won't run quite as well. So keep your system protected. It's worth it.
There you go, Kev. We have a caller on the line here. This is Dennis. Good morning, Dennis. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good. Listen, I just bought a Palm Pilot TX.
Okay.
And I went through the process to install it on my, the desktop portion of it. And,
yep.
And have the system recognize the hardware. And the problem is it won't. I'm not sure whether it's the cable I got with the unit or what, but when I plug it in, it goes through the process, and then you get that message that says new hardware recognized or identified, and then it says something about getting an error, and then occasionally it will recognize the POM, but then it won't. And I'm just wondering, is there something in my system that I need to change or fix to have it recognize the hardware, or do you think it might be the connecting cable?
What operating system are you running?
XT.
Okay, so you do have XP.
Yeah, XP, rather, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm up to date with it. I've got all the, you know, it fixes and so forth on it.
Did you have the Palm Pilot plugged in while you installed the software? I guess it probably wouldn't matter a whole lot. But,
I did.
Into the computer?
Then the USB port? I was having a difficulty, so I backed out everything, thinking, well, maybe I did the wrong sequence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I reinstalled it, and I'm still, I just can't get it to work.
Did you install the software first all the way through and then try and connect your device and do that first sync?
I did that in one occasion.
Okay, because that's really what you want to do. That's the order you want to do it, is you want to install the software first, because it needs to install all the drivers for the unit itself.
Yeah.
The other thing to check is where that USB cable connects into the back. Is it into the back of your computer or in the front?
Well, I've got a laptop that's sitting on one of these docking stations.
Docking station, okay.
Yeah, and I have a connecting, a connector. It's a longer cable, so I got the port out front here where I can see it.
Okay.
And I thought maybe that might be a problem, too, where it was going in to the docking station rather than this laptop itself.
What you can try and do.
I tried to do it directly to the laptop. I pulled it off the docking station.
Okay.
And it still didn't seem to recognize the hardware.
Okay. Because what I found with these, often, if you've ever, the first port you try it in is the port you should stick with.
Yeah.
Because that USB device has it has a certain name, essentially, that port does.
Yeah.
And often the handheld will align itself with only that port. And so if you do change it, then you have to kind of go into that little hot sync client and change the actual address of it.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, if you don't know that kind of stuff, you're getting a little technical now.
they don't really tell you that. That's the problem.
No. The other thing is, do you think there's an issue with having, when you got your virus protection running? I think I read one time, you when you install that kind of stuff, you should turn the software virus protection off because it will sometimes have conflicts with the installing the software.
You know, most of the time it's not an issue, but it's always a good idea if you can remember to do that.
Do you think that I should just go in and uninstall the software that's there now?
Yep, start from scratch.
Start over, and I'm just wondering, you know, if I go through my control panel and do, remove, will that get rid of all of the connections in there to the system?
Yeah, basically you want to go to the Palm desktop, go ahead and remove that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, if it's a separate component, it'll be called the Hot Sync Manager.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get rid of that too.
Okay.
And then start from scratch, install the software.
Reboot before you reinstall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Install the software first. Try and plug it directly into the computer. I mean, you can still do it through the docking station.
Yeah.
Just don't use any extensions. Make sure there's no dust in that port.
Right.
You could blow that out or vacuum that out.
Yeah.
So it's got a good connection. And then try it again.
Okay. And now when I do, when I go through the control panel and remove the software, does that take everything out of the register as well?
Most of it.
Well, it never gets all of it.
You can't get rid of all of it.
Yeah, I have a son-in-law who's a technician, and getting his attention is a little difficult.
Sure.
He usually does that kind of stuff for me, but fortunately, I was able to use my earlier Palm because I just bought an upgraded one, and I had trouble connecting the old one too, so I was just using it without. But I was able to beam over my contact list and my calendar. So at least I can use the new unit.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I really do want to connect it because there's a lot of stuff on there and I can't load any software without it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
if you get stuck with that, let us know during the week. We'll help you out.
Hey, that's cool. I wondered if you guys would do that.
Sure, we do.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dennis.
Thank
good luck.
You.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep, once you get in there and you start messing with that registry, though, you either want to, A, really know what you're doing.
Yep.
Or B, back it up. So if you
even if you back it up to fix it, if you do something wrong, it takes some knowledge. So you really don't want to go poking around in there. And just in the programs that they tell you, registry cleaner, registry mechanic, don't waste your time with them.
Yep.
They don't really do anything.
A lot of times they can cause just as many problems.
It's true. That's true. So we'll stay away from those.
Well, Kev, did you hear the America Online? I think we announced this a couple weeks ago, is giving out all their services except for their dial-up portion for free.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing that. Finally, they're dropping that dumb $4.95 if you're using broadband. Ugh, what a waste.
You can still, if you sign up for like a new AT&T DSL or Charter or TDS or whatever you decide to go with, if you get high speed and you already have an AOL.com email address you've been using for the last 10 years, you don't have to give it up.
Exactly.
It's kind of nice. Yep. And, you know, a lot of people get used to that.
That's true. If you've learned how to use AOL, you know, if you learn the internet based on AOL, you can keep using it no matter of how you connect, which is great.
However, America Online did have little whoops this week. Little oops. Did you hear?
Yeah.
They accidentally put a bunch of private or consumer information out on the web. So that was a little oops. But, hey, you get what you pay for.
Exactly. Nothing. So... Okay, we'll see what happens.
Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here. Good morning, Francis. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning. I'm calling about Norton, and I have a 98, and I can't get 2006 for that. You don't sell updates for 05, or do I have to do that online?
Do you have Norton Antivirus 2005 currently on there?
Do you have that on? I don't have XP. I don't think I can get 06.
No, do you have any antivirus installed on your computer right now?
Yeah.
What version is it?
This is Antivirus 2005 Norton.
Okay. Honestly, you don't need to upgrade. What you can do is your system probably has notified you about renewing your antivirus.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So if you go through that process, it'll take you on the internet. It'll take you to a Norton page. And what they'll try and do is they'll try and sell you the new version.
Uh-huh, 29-something.
Exactly. Just go ahead and go for the renewal. Instead of purchasing the new version, there will be an option to renew. And what that does is it basically keeps 05 on there, but it extends your license so you can keep getting your downloads. And I'd actually just recommend you stay with 05. You don't have to uninstall or reinstall anything.
Okay.
So but go for that. Make sure that you actually get the renewal and not the new version.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
And they really try hard to sell you the upgrade, let me tell you.
That's right. By default, they check the internet security.
Are you really sure you don't want the newest version?
That's right.
And they don't even always tell you. They'll sell it to you. Even if you have Windows 98, they'll sell you like 2006 and it won't run.
Exactly. Now, if you buy the disk version, it does come with an 05 version on it in case you have 98 or ME.
But she's already got it installed.
Exactly. There's no reason she needs to buy it.
Yep, she should renew. Should be about $29.95 though, isn't it? About $30 to renew now?
Yeah, I think it's about that.
Right around there.
Not a bad price.
But they do try hard to renew. At least it's not as bad as some of the other programs. They're always advertising for other programs.
Exactly.
That to me is a little annoying. Like
it is.
McAfee's always saying, hey, oh, you're out of, you don't have enough security here.
Oh, here we sell this program, which will do this for you and slow your computer down to a crawl.
That's an outbound internet filter.
So, okay.
So anyway, that's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about halfway through the show. We better mention this because people might have some calls. You know, the whole Dell battery thing.
Yes, so that is
everybody who has a Dell laptop is worried about their laptop blowing up in their face. Now, there's been
six
reported cases.
Six since December.
Six out of about 4.1 million batteries that have been released. These are the reported cases.
Oh, that are being recalled.
Yes.
Dell sells millions and millions of computers.
Millions and millions, yep. And 4.1 million are being recalled. So the people that we've checked, have we had anybody who's had one of those?
No, not yet. None that we've checked.
None of the people that have called have said, hey, this mine fits into that. But if you do have a Dell laptop and you're concerned, you can go to, DellBatteryProgram.com. Basically, all you need to do before you even fire up your computer, go ahead and take the battery out because you're going to need to look at the serial number. It's written right on the battery. Go to DellBatteryProgram.com and it will give you a little decoder, basically. If your serial number includes these letters, you qualify. So you go ahead and go through the program. They ship you a new battery, no questions asked. It's nice. You know, honestly, this is a good thing. You're getting a new battery for free if yours is recalled. So you get a brand new battery, get all of your full runtime back, can turn out very well.
You know, and the interesting thing about it, though, is the battery was made by Sony.
Exactly. It's not Dell's fault.
Yeah, who also provides batteries to Apple, Hewlett Packard,
yep,
other companies like that.
Sony is a huge manufacturer of batteries. So it's not like, oh, Dell's using some cheapo battery and that's the problem. No, there were some defective cells. Actually, it's some defective safety circuitry. Yep. What happens is the battery gets too hot. It's supposed to shut itself down. The shutdown doesn't work. And then it just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter until bad things happen.
So if you've seen the pictures, it is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Flame shooting out the sides. It's kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't think it was very cool if it was on my lap or if I was at my desk. But no, the chances of it happening are pretty slim.
But it's still worth checking. So, I mean, hey, you have the opportunity to get a free battery.
That's right. You know, that right there is the coolest part about the whole thing. 4 million free batteries.
Yep, your laptop's about 2 years old.
Although I think only about
wearing down.
2.7 million, I think, are being distributed in the United States.
Okay.
The other 1.4 are abroad.
2.7 million batteries. Got a good shot. So go ahead, DellBatteryProgram.com. Check it out.
Although, you know, when it comes to the odds, I mean, you're never going to win. It's like buying a lottery ticket.
Oh, we didn't win.
I know. I didn't win either on the laptop.
There was a handful of other ones I checked. Yeah. They didn't win either.
I checked a few and none.
So, no winners so far.
No free batteries.
But the batteries were made by Sony and placed in notebooks that were shipped between April of 2004 and July 18th of this year. Battery packs were included in some models of the Latitude, Inspiron, XTS, and Precision Mobile Workstation notebooks. That covers a lot. Basically, if you're a home user, you bought a laptop, it's probably going to be an Inspiron. So, you could check it out. It's April 2004 to July 18th of this year.
That's right, Kevin. Another fun thing is this week we you and I have been talking about the new operating system for Microsoft for quite a while now, I'd say.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, about a month ago or so, Microsoft released a test version to everybody, to the public, not only of their new operating system, but of the new Microsoft Office that is coming out as well. We've had a lot of people question and say, well, what's it going to look like? What's it going to operate like? You know, tell me more about this. And for a while, we've said, well, you know, there's a few things. It's going to be more graphically oriented and different things like that. But we've actually taken both of those test versions of software, installed them on a computer. So if you are interested, you can stop by. We've got a computer set up front of our office. You're welcome to take a look at it and see exactly what it is, this new Vista.
Yeah, we might put a time limit on. So if we see you there for like a couple hours, we might have to say, you know, you've been there long enough.
Once we see them playing more than one game of solitaire, we know they're not just testing out the new solitaire.
Exactly. But it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to get your hands on it and see if that's something you're interested in. You know, computers bought now, if equipped correctly, you know, we can definitely help you with that. We'll be able to run that when it comes out. So there's no reason that you have to wait to buy a new computer if you're thinking about it.
Yep, and at the same time, you can take a look at it and decide, you know, XP is going to be fine for me. I only need it for maybe 3 years or so, and at that time, I can upgrade.
Exactly.
So at least it'll give you some ideas of what's coming out, and it is pretty cool. You know, you can look at it, and you kind of get the idea that, yeah, they took some ideas from Apple's playbook.
That's true, been done before.
They've just taken a little while to get it out there.
Exactly. So basically, there's a release coming out for that, too, a security patch coming out this week. For some security issues.
Well, there have already been some updates for it.
Yep. The updates happen much the same as they did before, automatically telling you, hey, we've either done it or they're waiting to be installed.
That's right.
So,
well, give us a call here, Computer Guys. The phone lines are open, 395-1450. We invite you to give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Hopefully, we could even help you out.
Dave, I don't know if you heard about this.
I don't know. What's it?
Dell, AMD.
Oh, yes, I have. I actually read about that yesterday.
They're finally doing it. So, by launching Dimension Computers with AMD processors in September, so they are going to start using AMD. I think they're going to maintain Intel as well, giving you an option. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then in the servers, using their Opteron processors. So, kind of some competition here. AMD's made some serious headway, and
this is not good if you own Intel stock.
Yeah, that's true. This could be a problem. But it may cause Intel to kind of step things up a little bit.
Well, you know, the processor battle's been going on for a while. And Intel always had the advantage because they were partnered so closely with Microsoft. And AMD was just sort of this, you know, oddball processor that you bought. And I never really liked it. They were so hot. Back in the day, they were so hot. And they were just, I don't know. And you get a lot of low-cost motherboards that hooked up with them. It's just, I didn't really care for them.
Yep.
Well, they've gotten their game plan straightened out in the last few years. And I think that they're starting to make, you know, am I ready to go to an AMD processor? No.
No?
No. Even with all the reviews that I've read on it. And I don't know. It's like, it's the familiarity of Intel.
Intel inside. You're sold.
No, they don't do that anymore.
Well, you know, not really. But you still think about it because they've done it for so many years.
Well, I don't know. And it's not that I'm against, it's not that I don't like the company or anything.
Sure.
I'm not ready to switch yet.
I don't think I am either. I mean, right now, the attraction for AMD is they're mostly gamers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when pushed hard, you know, sometimes they perform better, you know, on gaming applications and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of their niche right now. But average Joe continues to use Intel. It's rock solid. It's stable. Yeah. Intel like a rock, you know.
There you go. Hey, Kev, you know, I've had, this is the analogy I use quite often. People, you know, how does a computer work? It's sort of a mystery.
Pretty much.
Sure, you know, there's maybe a processor. What is that? There's a hard drive. It's something that keeps information. And beyond that, what's inside there is pretty much a mystery to people.
Sure.
But listen to this analogy. This is something that I've heard before that I really think is makes a lot of sense. Think of your computer as being your kitchen.
Okay.
Okay, you, Kevin, you are the processor. You're the Intel or AMD processor.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yep, the refrigerator is your hard drive.
It's good.
The counter space is your RAM.
There you go.
So think about it like this. You're going to make dinner, and you go in the kitchen. Now, if you have a small counter space, you're constantly running back and forth to the hard drive, right?
Exact, to the fridge.
Oh, to the fridge, yes, to the fridge. Do you see what I mean? It's just interchangeable here. So you're constantly running back and forth to the refrigerator to get more food out and to put things away because you don't have enough room.
You got to work harder.
Yeah, you're working harder, running back and forth.
Yep.
But see, you, Kevin, you're the processor. You can only run so fast.
Exactly.
If you're a 2.0 gigahertz, you can only run 2.0 gigahertz back and forth.
Exactly.
Or now, if you're a 1 gigahertz, you know, you can only run half as fast, give or take.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, think of it like that. And people say, well, why do I need more RAM? I already have like a 200 gigabyte hard drive. Well, your refrigerator probably has two things in it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 100 shelves in there, and you've got a head of lettuce and a gallon of milk.
And maybe some ketchup.
Yeah, maybe some condiments stuck on the side.
Kind of looks like Dave's fridge when you think about it.
Yeah, my fridge is a little empty right now.
There you go.
A lot of condiments in there.
So you got plenty of fridge space.
So people say, I have this huge hard drive. Well, yeah, you have an empty refrigerator. But your counter, it's always full. Because you only have 4 square feet.
Exactly.
And that's why it's running so slow. Your processor, Kevin, he can only run so fast back and forth.
That's right. And the other thing is, it takes more time to open the fridge, find what you need, and take it out than it does to just grab something off the counter.
Although, if you only have 4 things in the fridge.
Well, let's say they're up on high shelves. Oh, you have to climb a little ladder to get there.
Yeah.
So,
and so that's kind of how a computer works.
It's a good analogy.
It is, you know. And it's I like telling people that, and their eyes sort of light up, and they go, I always wondered what that RAM did, even after you explain it to me. And that's why you can have, once you expand the amount of RAM in your computer, why you can have more programs open, why it runs faster.
More counter space. Things are within easy reach. Boom, boom, boom. It grabs it and go.
That's right.
Kind of nice.
Now, I don't have an analogy for what the dishwasher is yet necessarily, and some of the other things. We don't need to go there.
No, we'll just extend it. We'll stop it at those three main components.
Right.
Everything else, it doesn't really matter.
Dishwasher could be spy sweeper.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Dishwasher gets the gunk out of your plates. And
that was a good one, Josh.
That was pretty good.
I like that.
Yep.
I think what we need to do is come up with a big chart for
our office.
No, like a big picture for our wall, and we'll have like a little picture of spy sweeper next to the dishwasher. And
there you go. Maybe we should just build a kitchen in the front.
Yeah, there we go.
I'd like a dishwasher. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh, man. Well, okay, we only have a couple minutes left, but if you want to get a quick call in, 395-1450 here, the computer guys. Or if you want to send us an email, we probably won't get to today's shows, but...
Or if you want to send us a photo of your fridge.
Computerguys@whdc.com.
You send us a photo of your fridge.
You know, we appreciate funny emails at the Computer Guys account, funny pictures.
Just don't put us on your massive forward list that you send every forward to. You know, be selective with us.
Yeah.
So we only want the top-notch stuff.
But I like the funny things.
Yeah, but it's got to really be funny.
Right. Really fun. Funny jokes.
Not a little ha-ha. I want some more laughter than that.
There we go.
So if you were rolling on the floor laughing, pass it on.
There we go. Let's take one last quick call here, Kev. This is Mike. Morning, Mike. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, so in your kitchen analogy, if you're the processor,
yep.
Then if you guys are in the kitchen, does that mean it's like a Celeron?
Nah, that's right.
If Julia Child's in there, it's the Pentium D?
Oh, could be. There we go.
Okay.
And if you got two chefs working together, oh, man, you got a nice system.
Yeah, unless it's the Swedish chef.
The dual core.
That's right.
It's the new one.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for your call.
That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I could consider myself a Pentium.
You're a Pentium?
Pretty decent, yeah.
See, my analogy doesn't work for myself, because mostly I just do the grill.
Well, okay. What if you had an indoor grill? Would still work.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you need an indoor grill in your kitchen. You got George Foreman, right?
Yeah, I don't like using that as much always, because it's too much work to clean.
Oh, I know.
That is the killer.
Wish you could just take those plates off and like throw it in the dishwasher.
They have that now.
Do they really?
No, but it's not high tech. You know, we were talking at, I have a monthly geeks meeting, bunch of computer geeks.
It's actually a support group. for them to come to terms with their geekness?
No, we embrace it, Kev. And you're in denial. You even live in denial that you're not a computer geek.
No, I'm not in denial.
Yeah, you are. So anyway, we met and we were talking about what were we talking about? Oh, the new internet IPv6, you know, the new internet protocols that's coming out. Yep. Well, that has been out for a while, but just nobody uses. And they were talking about how they wanted to get their toasters online. Because eventually you could have, I mean, they're going to have so many internet addresses that you could put an address on everything and you wouldn't run out.
Yep.
So,
which is actually the reason for the new protocol, is they're starting to run out.
That's right. So
they see the end in sight.
But imagine this. Then we got to close in a second. But imagine you're toasting your bagel and I hack into it and I burn your bagel in the morning. Wouldn't that be a funny joke?
Yeah,
mess with my kitchen. The internet.
You want to mess with my kitchen. Everything's about the kitchen today.
There we go.
And we went off on a tangent. But if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. We could talk about your kitchen or about your computer. Our number at the office is 394-4940. Again, we are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. That's the corner of 34th and Maple.
That's right. Well, thanks to our callers today. We appreciate that. Send us some email this week. We'll get to it on the show next week. Computerguys at WHTC.com. Thanks for all listeners, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.